fans. This is Railbird Central, CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. As always, we're talking about your world champion, Green Bay Packers, this morning.
Welcome to the show. If you want to comment today, your comments are being approved, or feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to our show, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. Joining us at 8:30 this morning, the bottom of the hour, we have Mr. C.D. Angeli of TundraVision.com and Cheesehead Radio. So we're going to be talking about all his ventures at 8:30 a.m. this morning as we work our way across the Packers blogosphere. But in the meantime, plenty to get to today. Plenty to get to. Perhaps the biggest story last night was Aaron Rodgers throwing out the first pitch at the Milwaukee Brewers baseball game last night. Not just the pitch itself. I mean, that was all fine and great, and it kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers threw a strike to Ryan Braun behind the plate. Brewers lost, though. That was a little disappointing. A little disappointing for them to lose 2 out of 3 to the New York Mets at home. Definitely. I'm a little bummed about that. But let's talk Packers here. Commenting on the Brewers broadcast last night, Aaron Rodgers saying, at some point, we'll have to get together. And you know, he basically intimated, you know, what's going to happen today. Today is the Greg Jennings Celebrity Golf Tournament. He does this every year, raises money for the Greg Jennings Foundation, which is a big contributor to Habitat for Humanity. But anyway, a lot of the teammates are going to be gathering for this. A lot of the teammates, about, I think I saw 31 of them, or, you know, some number close to that at least, you know. So over 30 members of the Green Bay Packers getting together for this, and, you know, obviously they'll have a chance to talk. And Aaron Rodgers said he's going to be talking to Charles Woodson, one of the other captains on the team, and perhaps one of the most vocal ones, and, you know, going to talk about when to get together. And he said if the lockout persists, you know, pretty much it'll happen. Which is, as I predicted, I wrote a column on Cheesehead TV just the other day saying, you know, it's now or never. You know, if they're going to work out, you know, if the Packers are going to work out in what would normally be the time frame for OTAs and minicamp, you know, otherwise, you know, all football players pretty much lay low the month of July, you know, as they get their bodies rested and relaxed and ready for the upcoming grueling NFL season that lasts, you know, 5-6 months long. So, you know, I think if the lockout does persist, as Aaron Rodgers, you know, said, you know, they will get together in probably the time frame that training camp would normally occur. So, That's the biggest story, you know, that's been happening, that Packer fans are talking about over the course of the, you know, past 12 hours or so, ever since Aaron Rodgers threw out that first pitch last night. But, you know, more specifically today, let's get to what's in the headlines. There's a story about that on Cheesehead TV, but in today's Packers Day links, and if you scroll to the top of the live blog, I left a link to it near the top up there. It'll bring you to a page that looks like this, and the top story today is that there will be no player-organized practices between now and the Super Bowl ring ceremony, which occurs less than a week now, next Thursday, at the Lambeau Field Atrium. If you click this link, it'll take you to Pack Report, and Bill Huber contacted player agents yesterday and, you know, basically found out you would think with, you know, so many players coming to the Greg Jennings Celebrity Golf Tournament this weekend that they may get together, you know, this weekend or this week prior to Thursday's ring ceremony, seeing as they're all going to be in Wisconsin, that, you know, maybe, you know, they would be getting together and practicing and working out together. Not the case, apparently. Bill Huber writes, quote, Packer Report contacted several agents on Thursday evening. Of the five who replied, none of them had any knowledge of any workouts scheduled between Jennings' fundraiser and the ring ceremony. So there you go. If you have a comment, an opinion on whether the Packers should be practicing, should be working out together, by all means, please call into the show. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. I would gladly take your phone calls and your opinions on this topic or any topic related to the Green Bay Packers for that matter. So, yeah, this is kind of what's going on. You know, no workout schedule now, but apparently if things continue as planned, there will be workouts. You know, over the past week or so, week and a half, there's been, you know, pretty good news on the NFL labor front. It's been said that progress has been made. You know, last week there was the secret meeting in Chicago or the Chicago area, and that kind of came as a surprise, caught people a little off guard. You know, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, players rep DeMaurice Smith, and other owners and other reps got together and, you know, apparently made some progress, announced they would be entering into settlement talks. Not that a settlement was imminent, but, you know, that progress was made in the right direction. This week, another round of secret talks being held somewhere in the New York area. Again, same parties involved. And, you know, there was even a report yesterday that the lockout had been ended. That was a little premature. But, you know, it's just been for the last week and a half, nothing but positive news on the labor front. And that, you know, an agreement, you know, could be imminent, you know, eventually. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things they have to hammer out, a lot of legal ease. And, you know, dot their I's and cross their T's and, you know, I'm hammer this out on a legal binding document. But you get the feeling that an agreement could be made before training camp. So everything would be able to happen as planned or on schedule. And you hope so. And, you know, I think that should be the goal. You know, if you are a Packers fan or the Packers, you know, part of the Packers organization, you want training camp to happen as scheduled. You have so many, I mean, first of all, the team's sake, you want nothing to be interrupted. But, I mean, you have so many fans coming to training camp. That, I mean, that is a source of revenue and a source of income for the Packers. I mean, how many people listening to this show could raise their hand and say they've been to training camp? I would assume most, perhaps not all, if you happen to live, you know, out of state or something like that. But, I mean, if you live in the state of Wisconsin, it's almost a rite of passage around here that you come to training camp and during the summer watch the team practice. It's free. You know, it's an attraction. Something everybody does if you're a football fan. And even just a casual fan. I mean, it's just the Packers have so much of a reach and an impact on the community that, you know, it's a big deal around these parts. So, again, Hopeful is the word. Optimistic, another one that we can use to characterize the NFL labor negotiations as of late. Elsewhere in the news today, and maybe I can bring this up here. I was a couple days late on this. Apparently, 3 days ago, what would that have been? You know, Tuesday or Wednesday? I want to play this video. It may take quite a while to load here. But
before you buy,
let's see. It looks like it's doing all right. The Green Bay Bullfrogs. Here we go. We'll see if we can watch this here. And now it's stalled a little bit. We'll let it play, see if it continues here after the ad stops. Here we go. I'll let it load a little bit and give a little preface. The Green Bay Bullfrogs, they're a local amateur college wood bat summer league team. Is that enough adjectives for you? They're a college wood bat summer league team located in Green Bay. What it is it's a, you know, a chance for college baseball players to play in the summer in a, you know, a pretty good competitive environment without losing the professional eligibility. I used to work in the Northwoods League that the Green Bay Bullfrogs are a part of for the Madison franchise, the Madison Mallards, for one summer. And I'm a very big proponent of that league. And so, anyhow, I have some background knowledge of it. You know, like all minor league baseball teams, they have crazy promotional stunts, and this one is noteworthy. So earlier this week, TJ Lang came out, and offensive lineman TJ Lang threw out the first pitch at the game, ceremonial first pitch, just like Aaron Rodgers did for the Milwaukee Brewers last night. So, you know, when you're the Major League Baseball team, you get the stars like Aaron Rodgers. When you're the Green Bay Bullfrogs, you get a reserve offensive lineman like TJ Lang. But that's great. No, I mean, that's what the Bullfrogs do, though. I mean, they'll have local celebrities come out and throw out their first pitch. So they have the crazy publicity stunts, and they retired Brett Favre's number. Of course, you know, capitalizing on the issue whether the Packers should, you know, retire his number or not. And, you know, President Mark Murphy just came out a couple weeks ago and said that they will retire his number in time. But, you know, here, I'm going to put this on the screen, and, I mean, you can do this by yourself, too. Just open up the daily links, but we'll watch this little story here about the Green Bay Bullfrogs retiring number 4 in honor of Brett Favre. Not in honor of any baseball player they have, in honor of Brett Favre. Here, let's take a look. And now it wants to be slow again. We'll see if it picks up. Here we go. I always have so many things, programs open and running on my computer that things tend to be a little bit slow. We shall see if it picks up here. Apparently, an assistant coach for the Green Bay Bullfrogs actually wore number 4. And they changed his number. He's no longer wearing it. Now wearing number 15 or something like that. And now the video does not want to cooperate here. Of course. I mean, it seems to be here on Railbird Central a common occurrence that something like this would not cooperate, not want to work. Anyway. I suggest on your own time, feel free to open up the Packers Daily links and watch that video. So it is a little bit of a crazy stunt that, you know, I had found a little bit late. Actually happened on Wednesday, I believe, or something like that. So, elsewhere in Packers news today. You know, talking about workouts and lockouts and things like that. There's a link, you know, it's somewhere down in today's Packers data links, and here I'll show it as well. At foxsports.com, John Sarnecki wrote a column about, you can see right here, the top 10 teams most affected by the lockout. And on his list, coming in at number 10, is the world champion Green Bay Packers. And, you know, it, by all means, they didn't appear at number one on the list or, you know, anything of that matter. But I would assume this would catch people off guard a little bit, that the Packers are listed as a team that would be affected by the lockout. And I'm a little stymied by it myself. And here I just might read this, the paragraph of his where he kind of lays out the case that the Packers will be affected by the workout. And we'll take a look here and kind of analyze it as afterwards. John Sarnecki writes, quote, "How can I include the champs ahead of clubs like Arizona and Cleveland and other that are still looking for that quarterback leader? It's simple. This whole lockout is messing with how the Packers play football. It has stopped their personnel department from signing rookie free agents, and no coach likes working in the offseason more than Mike McCarthy. He has always had a young team in Green Bay, and he hates missing all this prep work for the season in order to get his rookies and first-year players up to speed. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is a top-five quarterback these days, but don't forget that he's a product of McCarthy's detailed system. I say the Packers don't repeat if camp starts in September." And I don't know. This could just be a case of, you know, drumming up interest in the purpose of drumming up interest here by Mr. Sarnecki. But the Packers will not repeat as Super Bowl champions if training camp starts in September. That just, you know, catches me as a load of BS. I mean, is it really? So if training camp starts in September as opposed to, you know, it's normal time in late July, early August, the Packers aren't going to be Super Bowl champs then? Somebody will leapfrog them? I mean, not to say that he's really going out on a limb anyway. I mean, if I was a betting man, just betting on either the Packers winning the Super Bowl or the field, all 31 other teams, I'd take all other 31 other teams, even though I think the Packers would win the Super Bowl, but, you know, just the odds are they won't, you know. So I do feel the Packers will be Super Bowl champs, and you'll see that in the upcoming issue with a Maple Street Press Packers annual, as I've already put the finishing touches here on our issue and had to make my Super Bowl prediction here in June. But anyway, so Mr. Sarnecki, his arguments against how the Packers will be affected by the workout just don't jive. Number one, he writes, the team is, they can't sign rookie free agents. Okay, neither can every other team in the NFL. I don't see how that's affecting them more than anybody else. And no coach likes working in the offseason more than Mike McCarthy. So because he likes working in the offseason, that's going to affect the outcome of the regular season. Again, it just doesn't jive for me. I don't see how the Packers will be negatively affected more so than a team like Arizona or Cleveland, who are going through, you know, perhaps quarterback changes or have young quarterbacks to break in, things of that matter. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I think this is a case of, you know, a discussion starter, or you know, saying that for the sake of saying it, because it doesn't make any sense. I don't see how the Packers are more affected. I do realize, and the one kind of valid point he makes is, you know, the whole the work that the Packers do put in the offseason, and in particular Mike McCarthy's quarterback school that, you know, has worked wonders for Aaron Rodgers and a guy like Matt Flynn, who's become one of the top backups in the NFL. I mean, it would certainly help any player to go through the workout season. But again, the Packers are not unique in that regard. No team has an off-season workout program. And no matter how good the Packers is, you know, their workout program, it just, I don't get it. On the live blog, John Rahor asked, when is the Packers Maple Street coming out? The Packers Maple Street Press, Maple Street Press Packers Annual comes out right around the start of training camp every year. So late July, early August. I don't have an exact date yet of when it will hit newsstands, but I mean, it's slated to coincide with the start of training camp. The scheduled start. Of course, you know, the NFL lockout could change when the start of training camp is, but I mean, late July, early August, right about then. Kurt Cozad, Brian, do you think A-Rod succumbed to peer pressure from Brewski regarding not organizing team workouts? No, I do not think A-Rod is succumbing to Teddy Bruschi or any other critic for that matter. You know, basically, A-Rod said last night on the Brewers broadcast that, you know, if the lockout persists, so, I mean, he used that qualifier, if the lockout persists, and that makes sense. I mean, if the lockout persists into July, August, yeah, I mean, the Packers will work out then, you know, in what would normally be the typical, usual start of training camp. So that's how I see it. I don't think he's succumbing or, you know, giving in to any critics. I think they just realize they're going to do the status quo for, you know, the next few weeks here. But, you know, if the lockout continues on into July, into August, then, you know, they will start practicing as a team, have a training camp of sorts of their own. So, David comments, I don't think the lockout affects all teams equally, but close to it. Exactly. I mean, I feel the same way. I do believe teams that, A, have a new coaching staff, and B, need a new quarterback because that position is so vitally important in the NFL, I think those teams are affected more so than any others. The Packers, though, have neither of those. They have an experienced coaching staff with very little turnover, and obviously their quarterback is coming back, their backup is coming back. So even if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, they still have an experienced backup. So it's, you know, it's, I mean, we're, as you say, you don't think it affects all teams equally, but close to it. I mean, we're splitting hairs here, probably, you know, for teams that don't have a new coaching staff or a new quarterback. I mean, the amount that they're affected by the lockout, we're splitting hairs. I mean, the that effect between teams is about that big. You know, can we slip a piece of paper in there? C.T. Angeli says, I don't think the Bullfrogs were in existence when the Packers last won a Super Bowl. No, they were not. The Bullfrogs are probably only came into existence maybe 5 years ago or so. So, you know, they're a new thing. I tell you what, though, folks, you know, like I said, I worked in the Northwoods League. If you live in the Wisconsin, Minnesota, there's even one team in Iowa and one team in Michigan, I believe. If you live in the area and want to take in a fun atmosphere, go to one of these Northwoods League games. They are good. And it is kind of a pure form of baseball. They're amateurs. They use a wood bat, though. You know, they use the aluminum bat in the college game, in the NCAA game, but they use wood bats during the summer to prepare them for future professional careers. And you know, it's a minor league atmosphere. A lot of fun promotions like that. Highly suggest it if you're going to, you know, just want to check out a baseball game. And the one I used to work for in Madison, the Madison Mallards, they are have the highest attendance of any team, any summer league team in the entire nation. Entire nation. They get like 6,000, 7,000 fans a game. And it really is a good family experience. So highly suggested if you want something fun to do this summer, take the family too. From Max Ginsburg, I have the end of the year teacher breakfast in about 5 minutes, but I wanted to stop by and say hello first. Hello, Max. Happy end of the school year. As a person who used to be in the teaching profession, this is a good time of year. It's a good feeling when you have a summer vacation coming up that's lasting about 2 months long or so. So I know how much of a relief that feels like. So congrats, Max, and glad to have you joining us. It's getting to be the bottom of the hour here. At 8:30, we'll have CD Angeli on the phone talking about TundraVision.com, Cheesehead Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and some of his other ventures and experiences as well. So, I'm trying to think of ways here to fill up the time remaining until the bottom of the hour, which is about 3 minutes. I didn't want to get into anything too in-depth here in 3 minutes. I suppose I could point out some of the other links in today's Packers Daily Links. We have a column written by the family of Vince Lombardi in response to the column written by Mike Vandermause of the Green Bay Press Gazette about a caretaker of Vince Lombardi's grave who had claimed the gravesite was in disarray and Vince Lombardi's ancestry took exception to that, they have made plans for it to be taken care of by, you know, whatever cemetery it appears in or is at, in, I believe in New Jersey. You know, I felt right away when that column came out that the column was about just a Jets fan in New Jersey who took care of Vince Lombardi's grave just kind of out of respect for Vince Lombardi, not even so much that he was a Packers fan, but just out of respect for Lombardi, and he characterized the gravesite as, you know, unkempt, in disarray, and I felt at the time that was probably hyperbole. You know, there were some pictures, but it didn't, you know, really appear that it was, you know, in disarray. I mean, you hear the word disarray and you think there might be a foot of weeds, you know, covering the name Lombardi there, as we can see on that picture I just had up. But, you know, that wasn't the case. I mean, but it's a good story by all means, this man who wants to come out and, you know, attend to Vince Lombardi's grave. Good story. I mean, good for him. Good for, you know, good for anyone who wants to travel to that site and see that. But apparently the Lombardis have taken exception to it being unkempt in the first place. So, you know, this is kind of a non-issue in my opinion. I don't know why the guy characterized it as such to begin with, but the record is clear now, and hopefully we can all move on and think no less of Vince Lombardi's ancestors to begin with. All right, it's 8:30. Going to take a break here. When we come back, CD Angeli will be on the phone. Hang on. Be right back.
This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
You are watching Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and joining me right now on the phone is CD Angeli of TundraVision.com, Cheesehead Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. Are there any other outlets I'm missing, CD?
As of right now, none. But, you know, we're always exploring new options. How are you doing, Brian?
Very good. Thanks for joining us, CD. So, you know, I've had other guests around the blogosphere on the show, and, you know, I asked them all the same thing to begin with here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, I know you a little bit personally, but I'm not sure all our guests do. Tell us a little about yourself, what you do for a living, and how you became a Packers fan.
All right. Well, I've been a Packers fan for many, many years. Obviously started back in the 80s when we moved into Green Bay, and I was delivering the Green Bay Press Gazette and was able to buy a guy's, the ticket prices. I bought a guy's season ticket off him, $13 a game. And went to every game that season back in 1983. It was pretty rockin'. but anyway, I'm back up in the area, and I'm a teacher for a living, so this is way early for me right now to be getting up this early, because obviously we're out of school. But it was the blog kind of started. It wasn't actually supposed to be a blog. It was just supposed to be a repository. I used to post it over Packer Chatters, and once every 3 months or so, their entire server would crash and we'd lose everything I'd ever done. And I was like, you know me, I do some pretty long posts, and I was like, oh, I don't want to lose that. So I said, well, I'm going to go to this blogger place and at least store all my good articles there. Often people come over and say, hey, you're a blogger. You're one of those Packer bloggers. I said, I am. No, I just wrote stuff. It's oh, I guess that would be a blogger. So I get kind of a reputation for being one of the elder statements of bloggers in the Packer blogosphere. Didn't even really plan to, but that's kind of how it turned out. So I would write maybe around 3-4 articles a week. That's kind of my goal, but when I write them, I try to make them very lengthy. As I said, I'm kind of the opposite of Brian Caravu, who's just a journalism maven. He can say a lot in very little, and I tend to say very little while writing a lot. So we're kind of polar opposites. And of course, I've gotten into the whole Cheesehead Radio thing, and that's we've brought together a lot of the best Packer bloggers that we have in the blogosphere to get together and talk about our favorite team.
I disagree that you say very little when you write a lot, but anyhow, CD, your most recent...
Well, Brian, now come on. How many words did I have to cut off my article for Maple Scooper?
We'll get to that. Your most recent post at Tundra Vision is entitled Tempering Our Highest of Expectations for 2011. Now, I've got the Packers winning the Super Bowl in 2011, so you have to explain to me why I have to temper my expectations.
Oh, gosh, I do get this reputation for being kind of a negative Packer fan, and I try to avoid that. I like to consider myself more...
CD, can I cut you off for 1 second here? You know, we kind of have a bad connection, and the people are commenting it on the live blog, and I agree. What I'm going to just try to do is hang up on you, call back, and see if it works, and we're going to do this in a matter of, 30 seconds here. So let's just see if we can get a better connection here. I'm not exactly sure what's happening here. We can hear CD, but just seems a little distorted. Let me try calling right back. I hope we get a better connection. I'm not sure exactly why it's so bad today. Let's see. We're calling him on our Skype line, so we'll see how it works.
All right, are we back?
Hey, you sound much better. That worked like a charm, actually. So, I don't know, just sometimes...
You sound pretty good yourself there.
Yeah, our Skype line just happens to get a little garbled, I think, in the somewhere over the connection of the internet. So very good. You sound a lot better, CD. Again, tell me why I need to temper my expectations for the 2011 season.
Well, I don't know if you need to temper them. I guess I get a reputation for being sometimes the realist, and that can be translated sometimes as being the negative person. I just look at McCarthy's team, and I think they're incredibly streaky. I think we've said it how many times that it's like McCarthy has to have his team with his back against the wall before they actually pull their head out of their rump and start playing. Last year was a perfect example. I mean, they were all but written off. And then all of a sudden they put together one of those great streaks. I tell you, if you're going to put together a streak of six games, the end of the season and the playoffs are a great time to put a streak like that together. But they had done these streaks before.
Exactly.
So, I'm not trying to say don't expect a lot, but I think there's a lot of people who've already placed this dynasty stamp on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good team. It's a great team. I love this team. It's a team you can root for, and I would hate to see us build up expectations so high for this team that, boy, if they don't win the Super Bowl, they're now just an incredible disappointment. And we fall into that pattern of just ripping everybody apart because they didn't win that Super Bowl for us. You know what? Sit back. Enjoy the ride like we got to last. It was a great season. I certainly, halfway through the season, wasn't expecting a Super Bowl. What a great surprise. And that's really cool. So that's kind of what I'm saying with tempering expectations is not to say, well, let's not hope we go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, we're going to hope we go to the Super Bowl, but don't put that expectation stamp on it that if we don't do it, it's a complete failure.
I got you. I read you. You know, in addition to Tundra Vision, you have, another venture occurring at Cheesehead Radio that can be heard on blogtalkradio.com. You recently had tight end Tom Crabtree on the show, so I'm assuming you must be pretty proud of the guests you're attracting.
Well, it's nice, and I certainly don't think I could attract these guests by myself. I work with four of the best Packer bloggers there are: Jersey Al Bracco, Jamie Jorz, Holly Phelps, and of course John Rahor. I think I saw in the poll that, of course, Jamie and Holly are completely winning the most popular Cheesehead radio hosts.
Of course, which they are.
I voted for him too. It's okay. I don't even like myself that much. I said, we got some. Everybody's got something out there, and so, if you want to make a connection with a player or guest, I said they know somebody, and usually it's Jersey Al or John Rahor, who is basically a Twitter stalker extraordinaire. I mean, this guy will wear you down. It's awesome. So we have another guest coming in next Wednesday. Packer player will remain nameless for right now, but he is featured in the new area in Lambeau Field in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Fame area. Packer player joining us next Wednesday night. We'll drop some hints as the week goes on and who it's going to be. It's going to be a great time.
Looking forward to that. So we'll stay tuned to the Cheesehead Radio Twitter account. You just teased it a little bit. You recently had the chance to see the new Hall of Fame exhibit at the Packers Hall of Fame inside Lambeau Field. Can you clue us in on that? Tell us what it's like. It's a pretty new exhibit, obviously chronicling the 2010 championship season.
Well, I think it just came out in the last month, and I just happened to take a field trip through there, and it was pretty nice. If you've been through the Hall of Fame, you haven't been there lately, there was the section where they had a children's area where you could jump on a big foam wall and throw a couple of footballs. Well, that's gone now, and replacing it is this big two-room section, all paying homage to this year's Packers and the Super Bowl. Super Bowl trophy is there. I think even more cool, I shouldn't say more cool, but very interesting is they actually have the NFC Championship trophy there, the Halas trophy, which I've never seen up close, and that was kind of, looks like something they make at Jostens or something like that. It looks like almost like a really elaborate class ring or something, but they have a saddle that was given to the Super Bowl winner by a leather-making place that makes saddles down in North Texas. They actually have the Gatorade can that was poured over Mike McCarthy with little bits of confetti still stuck to it. That was just neat. So it's a very cool thing. I walked in, having been through the Hall of Fame numerous times. I've seen it, you know, you like it. It was a little bit old hat because I've seen it so many times. I walked into that room, and I did not stop smiling for the 50 minutes I was walking through there. It was just such a positive feeling because you just went through this battle. You just went through this journey, and, you know, you're not reading about people who've been dead for, you know, 80 years. You know, it's like, these are the people. There's a picture of Tom Crabtree sitting right there with all his tats, and you're like, wow, I just talked to him on the show. That's really cool. And he's here, you know, big picture in the Hall of Fame. So just a great place, and I recommend if you make it up this summer, you're coming in for whatever festivities hopefully we end up having, please take a stop down there and see the trophy. It's a great feeling.
We're talking to C.D. Angeli of TundraVision.com and Cheesehead Radio. C.D., I've invited you to be a contributor to part of the Maple Street Press Packers Annual, and you did a fantastic job last year talking about the training camp experience in Green Bay, and this year you're contributing a piece on the Packers-Bears rivalry. Can you give everybody kind of a preview of what's in that article and perhaps the reasoning behind writing such an article?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a ton of fun writing that, as you know, because poor Brian had keep emailing me and says, okay, you got to cut down about 2,000 words. Okay, so I have to cut down another 1,000 because I just didn't want to cut anything because it was the Bear-Packer rivalry. I always say there's like this imaginary line right around when Holmgren era began, and if you started watching after that, you don't have a real grasp of the Packer-Bear rivalry because there really hasn't been one since the Holmgren era. But I started watching the 80s, so boy, after watching The Fridge and Jim McMahon and Ditka and maybe some of those Forrest Gregg con men we had playing for us back in the day, you really do feel the Bears were the number one rivalry. We've lost that, and that's why this year has been so important for us to recapture that Packer-Bear rivalry. And I was just researching all the way back, and there were stories I had never heard. I mean, just researching the 1921 Halas-Lambeau fight over Hunk Anderson, who was a Notre Dame player, friend of Curly Lambeau, that he played illegally in a game in 21. Halas worked his tail off to have the Packers thrown out of the NFL after their first year. And the NFL went along with it. I mean, they basically blocked the Packers. Packers couldn't do anything. They were on suspension. They were about to be kicked out. Well, the reason was, and I had to go to about three different sources to get the whole story, Halas wanted that guy. So it went all the way to August. Anderson, Hunk Anderson, Notre Dame player, finally said, forget it, and signed with Halas's Bears. Well, as soon as he had the player, Halas dropped all the charges and let the Packers back in because he got the player he wanted. So he was going to kick the Packers out of the league just to get this player. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It was just classic. And it was this kind of animosity that went on for decades, especially with Lambeau and later on Lombardi with Halas. Just a great story, great rivalry. Hopefully there's some great stuff to read in there. And, of course, they built in some stuff about how the season went this past year and why this rivalry has to be important again for Packer and Bear fans alike.
Thank you so much for contributing that article, CD, and thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk again.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely go Pack Go, and guess what? I'm going to be going to the Bears game on Christmas Day. Just found that out yesterday. Pretty exciting.
Very nice. So we'll be looking for a full report come December.
Yes.
CD, well, thanks again.
I'll be there.
Thanks again. Take care and have a good weekend.
You betcha, buddy.
Okay. See ya.
All right. Bye.
CD Angeli of TundraVision.com, Cheesehead Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Glad to have him. You know, I had mentioned that CD is contributing to part of the Maple Street Press Packers Annual, and as editor, it's my job here to promote it, even though we're 2 months away from the release of the magazine. But it reminded me, we have so many good contributors. Just 2 weeks ago, we had on the show Adam Check of allgreenbaypackers.com. And Adam Check is writing an article for the historical section of our yearbook that I think is just fantastic. He is writing an article, or has written an article, on the last time there was a lockout in the NFL in 1987. The players, can you consider it a lockout back then? It was a player strike. So I guess it perhaps was the opposite of a lockout. The player strike of 1987, when they used replacement players. And he actually interviewed quite a few of the replacement players on that 1987 team, who I believe played three games. And, they're kind of, some of them, just some local Joes. Two of the guys played at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And, every once in a blue moon, the WEAC conference here in Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin system will get a player, aside from the University of Wisconsin Madison, the other schools, La Crosse, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, Stowe, Superior, et cetera, Whitewater, every once in a blue moon will get a player into the NFL. But, back when they had the player strike in 1987, all of a sudden the cream of the crop is the entire NFL is on strike. So they need the replacement players, and, to have some local guys on the team, and just, a lot of unheralded players is really unique, and to get their perspective on, what I think is a unique situation, and, very apropos to, what's happening today in the current labor battles occurring in the NFL. So look forward to that when that article comes out. Stuart says, what is Alan Risher doing now? And Alan Risher is a, integral part of that story. And John Rayhorse says, wasn't Jim Bob Morris a replacement player too? Jim Bob Morris is also a big part of that article. Both Alan Risher and Jim Bob Morris were interviewed for this article, going to appear in Maple Street Press Packers Annual. And the article is so good, I believe it could appear in like Sports Illustrated. So thank you, Adam Check, for contributing that. And I can't wait till this thing hits newsstands so people can read it. So, just interesting to get the perspective of a Jim Bob Morris of all legendary Green Bay Packers. That, Jim Bob Morris probably deserves to be in the Packers Hall of Fame just for the sake of having Jim Bob Morris in the Packers Hall of Fame. He's could have been the best player perhaps on that, strike, 1987 player strike team that played all of three games for the Packers. But a unique time in history. And by the way, I see Stuart on the live blog. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Scotland today. Glad to have you joining Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. And thank you to everyone else joining in from around the globe. Sandra from Australia, I know, is listening, or was listening at least. So glad to be reaching all corners of the globe here this morning, or at least what is morning here in Wisconsin, not morning everywhere else. So, anyway. Oh, I lost my train of thought. What are we doing here? It's a Friday. We're almost at the end of the week. Do I have anything else to touch on here in the Packers news? I don't have too much else to say today. Not too much more that we haven't covered already from an off-season standpoint of the Green Bay Packers. The Super Bowl ring ceremony coming up next week, less than a week away now, next Thursday. Bits and pieces of news that will be coming out are the the Greg Jennings Celebrity Golf Tournament, as I said, occurs today at the, I believe, in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The Vince Lombardi Golf Classic occurs tomorrow in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, which raises money for cancer research in the name of Vince Lombardi. And their little pre-party gala occurs actually this evening at, I think it's North Hills Country Club in Menominee Falls. Have a question. Brian, do you think that there are more camps being put on by Packer players since we have a lockout? It's an interesting question. Every summer, no matter what, individual Packer players put on youth camps throughout the nation. It's hard to say that more are being put on because, you know, what happens is that these things are publicized on a local level. You know, just very recently, Jarrett Bush had his own youth camp and out in California. If I'm correct, it might be Vacaville, California. But the fact that I have to search my brain to think of Vacaville, I mean, in the whole scheme of things, unless you live in California, Vacaville, California doesn't leap to mind as this big, you know, metropolitan, you know, area, even though it might be a suburb, perhaps. But, you know, it gets attention there in the local area, although it's not necessarily reaching, you know, Wisconsin, where, you know, most Packers fans are located and would be interested in that kind of information. I know this week, and by all means, his name is not at the tip of Packers fans' tongues, but outside linebacker Dyrell Briggs, backup outside linebacker, special teams player, he was hosting a youth camp this week. And I forget where it is. I think he's from Ohio. And I tried to search the internet a little bit for some information on this youth camp. And it just doesn't appear. I mean, Dyrell Briggs is probably putting this on at his local high school where he went to high school. And again, it's probably only getting attention from a local standpoint. And thus, you know, when it's not in Wisconsin, the Packers media isn't covering it. But, you know, good. Great for these Packers that are doing this, you know, by all means. Congratulations to them for winning a Super Bowl and having a platform to run these youth camps and, you know, doing something for their community and helping out kids and helping out youth. So by all means, congrats to them and way to go. So it is almost 9 o'clock here. Everybody have a good weekend. This will be the last episode of Railbird Central till next Friday, I believe. I myself am excited. I'm going to the Brewers-Cubs series in Chicago next Monday. So just going to be out of town for a couple days while I do that and won't have an episode on our regularly scheduled time next Tuesday. So we'll be back on next Friday here on Railbird Central. And I'm busy trying to line up a guest for that day. So thanks again, everyone, for joining me. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday here as the weekend is about to start. For all you educators out there, Max Ginsburg, C.D. Angeli, enjoy your summer vacations as they're starting here. And everybody, for that matter, as well. Again, see you later. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.